Praise God. It's a privilege and also a huge responsibility, but if anything I can be is an empty, willing vessel, and like Pastor, his wife, also our visitor from our pastor from Yakima, you know, Yakka Vegas, as they call it, if you're familiar. It's a privilege, and to look up to people like we have here that I've been looking up to. I know Pastor Danny for a while. He used to run streets, and we used to go to streets when I was in the home, and I remember the faithfulness and the obedience to the calling of God. And with that, you guys all could be seated. I like to just thank God right now for the awesome privilege and honor it is to be able to share the word of God with you guys. And I like to thank Pastor for trusting in me, believing in me, for encouraging me and keeping me going and pushing, even when I didn't want to. Like Pastor just mentioned, Pastor Danny just mentioned, it takes faithfulness. And even though you don't want to continue, sometimes you need someone that's going to push you and be alongside of you and say, you know what, let's do this together. Or you can do it. You know what I mean? They're there to encourage you and to be an inspiration to me is seeing these two guys here in the front seat. And I just pray I do it justice. And these guys are the awesome speakers of the word. And I remember Pastor Danny, whenever he used to preach at Friday Night Lives in Seattle, I always used to look forward to his word because he always gave the word with clarity, with power, and conviction. I mean, it's real to him. He speaks from the heart. So today, I want to just speak to you from the heart. And also, what I believe as a church and what we're experiencing now is we're experiencing growth. And we're experiencing some different levels of living that we're not used to. Some of us are not used to these new things that we have going on, even in our own homes, right? Because we chose to live a life separated, holy, committed to God. We're no longer of the world. We're no longer, but we're transformed. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So with that, I'd like to thank my wife, my family, and all you guys for coming out today. And I just pray that God will have his way and I'll be removed so he could fill me up. Amen? Because I need to be filled of his spirit. So if we could open up our Bibles to Acts 6, chapter 6, verse 1. And I'd like to just open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I just come before you right now. Lord, I just pray that you would just begin, Father God, to remove me, Father God. I come to you as an empty vessel. Lord, fill me up with your Holy Spirit, with your power, with your authority, Father God. Father God, I pray that this word will go out, Father God, and plant within each and every one of us individually, Father God, a seed in our hearts, in our lives, Father, that you would continue to water. And Lord, it will continue to grow and sprout out a tree of life that's able to give good fruit to our community, to our family, for those around us. Father God, I pray you speak through me, remove me in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, have your way. And we all say, amen. Amen. So Acts chapter 6, verse 1, the word of the Lord reads, in those days, when the numbers of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Arabic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered their disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be filled with the Spirit and wisdom, so we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Amen. So in this portion of scripture, which we just read, in the church of Acts, it was at a period where they were experiencing great growth. And it also mentions in verse 1, in those days, the number of disciples were increasing rapidly. So God's work and his message continued to spread. It continued to be out of Jerusalem into the uttermost parts of the world, where not only the Jews were getting the word, but the Greeks, the Gentiles, they were all sharing in the growth spurt and through the power of the Holy Spirit in that time. So what I wanted to be able to kind of focus on this evening was the church was at a period and at a time where they experienced some growing pains. Amen. How many know that we've been experiencing some growing pains ourselves? But it's good, right? It's good for us to grow spiritually. Amen. Not only spiritually, but also to be able to have the ability to handle the increase, right? So we have to grow. We have to continue on learning. Amen. So it also in that chapter, it also said that they chose seven men full of the Spirit. And I believe as a church, we are experiencing some growth. Amen. And we need some more than seven, amen, to rise up. Amen. Yes. Tell the truth. We are stretching ourselves. And for some of us, we have many things that we juggle and many ministries on our plate to where we can share that now. We can share that load with others who are willing to join in with us. Amen. Hold hands and say, you know what? We're going to do this and we're going to be in this together. Sometimes when we are experiencing growing pains, it's good. Because that means we're no longer staying the same, but we're changing. Yes. Right? We're no longer staying at a certain level or a certain point in our lives, but growth starts to stretch us and grow us. And we start to enlarge our capacities to be able to handle the spiritual and the physical growth as well. As you look around, we grew our numbers in Wednesdays from like 10 to like 40 to 50. Amen. God's been able to bring the increase, and he's entrusting us to be able to expand our level of faith and our level of growth to be able to handle the needs which may arise as people come in, right? People come in, they come with needs, and they come with things in their life that they should be able to trust to come with their problems, that we will be able to give them good advice, and we'll be able to point them in the right direction, amen, by the way we live and by the way we act and what we do and how we practice in our faith, amen? Praise God. So therefore, like I said and I mentioned, in the book of Acts, they were growing. So they were looking for men and women that were full of the Spirit, faith, and willing to meet the needs of the church as well as meet the needs of God's people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12, the Bible reads, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized in one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we are all given the Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not be for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So in the word that we just read there, to counter all that up, I would believe that we all, that it's saying that we all have a purpose and that we all are important. Even though it is one body, it has many functions and there's many parts of the body that's included, right? If we would have continued on to read in verse 28, in the same chapter, God had set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, 30 teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, and diversities of tongues. Now God set each one of these members in part of one body, just as he pleased. Know this, that it says that each one of us are important and that we all have a part to play. Amen? And it also goes on to say that even the ones you can't see are the most important. And I would dare to say that we have some very important people out in the children's ministry right now. We can't see. Very important part of the body, right? How many love our children? They are imparting biblical studies within your kids. They're imparting. Like when I was young, I was in this thing called Royal Rangers, and I remember my teacher. I was raised by a single parent, and my mom was the only one there for me, and my dad wasn't in the picture at the time. And I remember the important things which kind of made me a good kid, even though I wasn't quite, you know, who I should have been. But they instilled good things and values in my life when I spent time going into children's ministry. I remember those things, and it took away from me not having a father because they became my father figure. They became someone I could look up to. And I just know that we have very important people that come in and clean this church so we could be able to enjoy a nice, clean, beautiful church. Amen? So it's not what we do. Not only what's important is the people here on the stage, like are in any area in life where we could say, you know what, one's more important than the next. We all have a purpose, and we all are important in the body of Christ. Amen? Because what would the body be without its internal organs, right? What would we be if we didn't have things within us functioning correctly, right? Let's just tell the truth. We probably wouldn't be alive. So it's the things that is really on scene that are things that are really important. And we got to, just sometimes when you see them and you see these people, just tell them thank you. And, you know, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate your time that you spend and that you give to the children. Because it's very important, very important. Now, excuse me, I got to get some water. It's not easy, amen? This is my first message. Well, my first one was a shotgun. It was 10 minutes. Those are easy. I would have been gone out already. But, I believe that God has a word for us, and when I put this message together, I believe that God put it together for a purpose, amen. Because we are enlarging our capacities, and I don't know if you know it or not, but our pastor, he's getting ready to go full time, and what is it if we ain't ready to handle that increase? What does it look like? Would God continue to bless us and take us to glory, right? We like to say this, when I'm going through it, it's like God will never give me nothing I can't handle, brother. You know what I mean? So obviously I can handle this tough situation I'm going through. But in the same respect, you know, if you ain't ready for the increase, God, how is he going to bless you with things that you cannot handle? Can we handle the growth? Can we handle more needs? Can we handle more people? Amen. Let's just tell the truth. It's a blessing to be able to be counted for and trusted with people within your life that you're able to impact and touch and reach. Amen. It's an awesome privilege. So, like I mentioned, our pastor's going to need some people to rise up. You know, he's going to go full time, so he's going to need some faithful givers, some faithful tithers. Amen. We're going to have to rise up our level of living and our level of faith to be able to handle the increase. Because I believe once he does that, God's going to bless us and God's going to take us from glory to glory each time when someone sacrifices and steps out on faith, because he's not only a pastor, but he's a full-time husband. He's a full-time dad. So imagine, just like as we read in the scripture, when we just read that they were going through a time where the fellow believers were thinking that their wives were being overlooked at the daily distribution of food. So what the apostles did at that time was recognize a need that, you know, some more lanes need to open up. Some needs are arising. So let's choose seven men from among us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Who are filled with wisdom and have a good reputation, right? So those are three things that we want to look at, actually, that I want to focus on this evening, is, and that's verse 3 of chapter 6 of Acts. Because I truly believe, and I can feel the growing pains, because I feel it at home. I'm sure my kids and my wife feel it. You know, when you're growing, it's amazing after the fact, after the pain, right? After you heal up, and then boom, here comes the next step, right? So, but it's awesome because you see the results. You feel different. You feel better. Like I'm able to impact people's lives and say, you know what? I've been through that. I can show you some. I got a thing or two I can tell you or teach you, because God has brought me through that already. You know what I mean? I grew past that point, and now let me help you get to where I'm at, and you're going to be there, because it's all steps. It's all a process. So I truly believe that we are growing, and we're at a place to where we can say that, you know what? It's almost a time of Pentecostal, the spiritual explosion, right? I feel like we're on a verge of just God's going to break open this city. God's going to break us, and he's going to say, you know what? I broke you. I broke you down. Now let me build you up, right? Let me build you up so I can shine, right? Because Pierce County is big. Pierce County is pretty huge, right? It's a whole state by itself. No, it's pretty big. It's a big city, and we believe that we're going to take Pierce County for Jesus. Amen. And our pastor believes in planting seed, planting churches. Amen. And we have plenty of space and plenty of other cities around us where there's needs, and that where we can meet those needs. And if we only have people who are willing to rise up and continue the growing pains, amen, in life, then God will bring the increase. And he raises that level of faith within us. And I mean, we're on the verge of, I don't know why, but I feel like God's going to bring the sick. He's going to bring the blind. He's going to bring the diseases, the people that are filled with just darkness. And I know that this is going to be a place that, like, you know, have you ever been to a hospital? If you just look around the hospital, you see many needs that need to be met, right? Who's there to meet those needs? A doctor, a physician, right? So it's in the same place, we're a spiritual hospital. So we're going to be taking the people that need healing, the people that need help, some people that need medication. The Holy Spirit is what we're going to give them, right? The power of the Holy Ghost, right, is going to be able to open up these altars right here and see these people just getting healed. I mean that outrageous type faith. And I believe that we're on the verge of that. We are honestly on the verge of that faith, having people raised from the dead. Amen? How many believe that? Amen. That raising the dead type faith. Let me prove it to you. We are all familiar with the story of Lazarus. And when Mary and Martha heard that Jesus was just in the next town and their brother was on the deathbed, and they sent for Jesus, but Jesus didn't come right away. So Lazarus passed away, and for several days he was in the grave. And Jesus was on his way there, and for a reason, you know, he stalled, or he didn't come right when they asked for him to come. So when Mary heard that he was just on the edge of the village, Mary ran to Jesus. If only you had come earlier, Jesus. If only you had come earlier. Then Martha heard and was also drawn to Jesus. And when she came, she brought people with her, drawing to Jesus, where they met at the grave of Lazarus, and they were sitting there at the tomb. And Jesus told the people, roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. So the people did what they could do, right? They rolled away the stone. They rolled away the stone, and Jesus did the rest. He raised Lazarus from the dead, right? So I would say that if people would be willing or able to do what God has blessed them to do, God will do the rest. He will do the miracle. Amen? If we believe that we have the faith and the will to want to be used, God will use you. God will use you. The result of the apostles' wise handling of meeting needs and selecting those group of seven that had the qualifications of being filled with the Spirit, full of wisdom, and of good reputation, caused a growth in their church and caused a growth around them, where the number of people and believers added to their number daily. And also, a number of priests were being believers as well. So it helps us to understand that when we're used of God, and we are a part of a bigger picture when it comes to the growth in church. Amen. It's not about just us, and it's not about us four and no more, but we all have the capacity and we all have the ability to be used in a mighty way. How many can say amen? Amen. So just as the Church of Acts is looking for men and women who are filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, who choose to walk the right way and have a good reputation, so are we looking for people to get involved as a church. And my first point tonight, what I want to make is, who is God going to use? A person of good reputation and good report. We have to know that we have to build a good name for ourselves so that the people can trust us and we can help them along in their life, right? They're not going to come with their problems if they know that we mistreat them. They ain't going to come if we're spreading their business all over the church, right? So we have to build a good reputation for ourselves. And like the word says, if we refresh others, we also will be refreshed. So there's two sides to that. There's a blessing, amen? There's a blessing when it comes to serving others and putting other people's needs in front of our own needs. And a person with good reputation, if ain't careful, if they just do things wrong or say things wrong, people could twist that. Or people could put that on you and say, you know what, they could put a sour taste in their mouth about you. So we must hold our testimonies and guard it and protect it. Amen. So when we're either in church or outside of church, at our jobs, at family functions, we have to know that we hold our testimonies at a high regard to protect that, right?
Yes. Come on.
Men's home like to call that accountability. We have to hold ourselves above reproach. We can't give anyone a chance to badmouth us.
Yes.
Secondly, full of the Spirit. Remember, the apostles, when choosing the seven, chose men and women full of the Spirit. My second point. Being full of the Spirit gives us power. In Acts 1:8 reads, "But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." Being full of the Spirit gives us power. And we have to know that when we have the power and through the Holy Spirit, God does something. He does something in you. When you're full of the power of the Holy Spirit, people see you different. People are drawn not to you, but what's in you. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it helps us in times when we're weak, in times when we can't do things on our own strength, or when our flesh is kind of beating us up a little bit, and we're not able to see correctly or to hear things correctly. The Holy Spirit, which gives us power, also strengthens us. As a church, you know, we can't do without the Holy Spirit. Us, we wouldn't be a church, right? So also, as individuals, we also need the Holy Spirit to be within us. That way, we're able to have the power to stomp over snakes and scorpions. Hello. To raise the dead like a Lazarus. Amen? I mean, spiritually, there are going to be some people who are dead and who are just drawn to us. And we're going to be the ones to breathe the life in them and speak the word of God through the power of His Holy Spirit, and it's going to be able to change lives. Amen.
Yes.
And in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, what I just mentioned, for when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, groaning too deep for words. Man, imagine that. Imagine when you're praying and you think you're saying a lot, but you ain't saying nothing. The Holy Spirit's interceding for you because you may be weak at that time. I may just be praying about, God, I need a raise, or God, I need some extra gas money. I can't make it this week. I'm too focused on myself. And the Holy Spirit is just, you know what? He don't know. He's weak right now. He just thinks that his needs are more important than my deeds. And he's going to be able to raise intercession for me in my weakness. That's just too deep for words, as the Bible says. When we are full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, meaning He sends up prayers on our behalf. He empowers us. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we begin to speak words of boldness. And I couldn't come up here without the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust me. When I was younger, my mom used to, "Paulie, go order some pizza." And I used to be too shy to get on the phone to order pizza. Why? I don't know. If I was comfortable with you, I would talk. I would let you know where I'm coming from. But if I didn't know you, I probably was just quiet and just sat there and observing, watching everybody, and wondering thoughts in my head, and I just always had doubts, and I had this low self-esteem. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be up here right now. Trust me when I say that. So to bring us to our next point, who does God use? We mentioned a person of good reputation, a person full of the Spirit, and it also mentions a person full of wisdom. A quality of having the experience, knowledge, and good judgment, its ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action. Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear. How many know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Because if you fear the Lord, you're wise, right? Amen? I used to do things out in the world that I knew I can do, but I didn't because I feared the Lord. I knew where I would go if I would have disobeyed me and what I thought was right. But the fear of the Lord in me taught me how to make wise choices and not do the things that maybe I wanted to do. Full of faith and belief, a confident attitude towards putting your life, putting everything in God's hand, right? When you have faith, like I mentioned, that it's the most important part of a Christian's life, faith. If we don't have faith, then we don't have belief. If you don't believe, who's going to follow you, right? Many people could say, you know, well, what do you believe in? And if you ain't truly convincing them that you believe in it, they're probably not going to listen to what you have to say. In Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would be drawn near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Closing, we all have a place in this church. Amen. And just as in the book of Acts, the apostles had to deal with issues. And in order for them to continue in their walk and to their calling, which they were called is teaching and spreading the gospel, teaching the word of God. And so with that, they had to choose seven people who were faithful, who were trustworthy, of good reputation. The same as in our church, where I believe where we're at in our walk is there's going to be needs that are going to arise. People are going to come in, heavenly burden. And if we ain't capable of handling those and we're just focused on our own burdens and our own worries, it's going to pass us by. But I believe that we have people in this house who want to be used, who want to be one to say, Lord, here I am, use me. I don't know what is good in me, but whatever good that you see, use it. That's what I'm here. I'm here because I said, God, no longer do I want anything. I want to give. First of all, I give you my life. Second of all, I give you my anxieties. I give you my worst to my best. Lord, I surrender. And when I did that, I made a choice that I was going to walk different. I was going to talk different. And then I was going to believe different. I was going to be full of faith, be full of wisdom to make the right choices, to no longer go down the same path or road that where I was headed. But, you know, I'm going to point my kids in the right direction. They're going to follow me, and they're never going to have to go through and make the same bad mistakes that I made in my past, because God is faithful to those who are willing, amen? And also, our pastor is going to be going full-time. And just as in the Church of Acts, they chose seven that would take over the ministry where it created, you know, some problems. So they had a meeting. They said, you know what? Choose seven people from among you with people that know them to be a good person and that they're full of faith and they're full of wisdom. Now, we're at a place in our walk and in our church where I believe that God's going to this explode with growth, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with all the things that come with people who are willing to be used by God. God's going to do something great in our church. So in order for the apostles to do what they were called to do, they needed people who will be willing to be faithful, who will be willing to say, you know what, no matter how big or how small the task, if it's either in the background or if it's in the forefront, you can use me. You know, ushers in the children's ministry. If you wanted this, you know, there's people that come in their own time. They come to clean up the outside of the church. Some come on the inside and just clean. That's what they do. That's what God is using them to do at that time. They're being faithful in the little. And I know as we grow, we need more to say, here I am, use me. You know, God, use my life. Because sometimes we don't know what to do with our lives. Until we surrender our lives have no meaning. They don't. They don't. I thought I had plenty to accomplish or plenty to say to people, but I really didn't. I really, really didn't. Until I chose to make a choice to serve God and to serve people. God opened up doors. God opened up the abilities for me to be able to speak in front of people because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I honestly couldn't even read or write. You know what I mean? I tell the brothers in the home all the time, if it wasn't for the home, if it wasn't for the process, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I'm at now today. But if it wasn't for God, amen, and his life-changing power and his Holy Spirit coming into my life, I wouldn't be here. My children wouldn't be here. But thank God, amen. Thank God for his faithfulness, for his seeing the potential in me and seeing that, you know what, this is not what I have for you. I have greater. I have better for you, son. Amen. Follow me. As we all stand. I believe God is getting ready to take us from glory to glory. And even though this church seems nice, looks nice, smells nice, God has better. God has much, much more for us, especially for our people ahead of us that are leading us, our pastor, his wife. I truly believe they're blessed people. They're blessed because the commitment they made to say, I'm willing. Use me, God. Use my life. Use my job. Use my children. Use my house. Use my car. Use my finances. I give it all to you. It came all the way from Seattle to Tacoma on faithfulness. On a word from God saying, I got you. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? How many of us trust God tonight? How many are willing to go and say, you know what? I'm willing to trust more. I'm willing to raise my level of living and believing. God, I need more of you. Because honestly, I can't do it without you. One of the greatest treasures that we can find as a believer and as a person who knows God is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, they're bestowed on us, they're given to us divinely to strengthen the body of Christ. for his purpose, for the furtherance of his kingdom, for him to get the glory. We're just willing vessels who are faithful, trustworthy, of good reputation, and say, God, if you can use me, here I am. And as we commit to that, I believe we're at a place in our church where we can use more people, more servants in the children's ministry, with the ushers, the greeters, the worship, more leaders. There's many places that have needs, and where needs need to be met. And I believe we have the ability here in the house. We have people with spiritual gifts. We have people who are willing to lay down their lives for others. Amen. So as we close our eyes and we just lift our hands to God, I just want to close.